Thank you again for having us here.
You may have listened in the past to two of the messages, and one was about the thief Judas Iscariot, and another was about the thief at the cross. We know there's tremendous difference between these men in eternity concerning Judas Iscariot. Jesus said in Matthew 26 and in Mark 14, "The Son of Man indeed goes just as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born." About the same exact words are repeated in Mark. In Matthew, Judas, who was betraying him, answered what Jesus said and said, "Rabbi, is it I?" He said to him, "You have said it." That tells us that we know beyond the shadow of a doubt where Judas Iscariot is today. He's in Sheol, the temporary resting place of the dead. He's in torment there, just like the rich man in Luke chapter 16. And he has only to look forward to the great white throne judgment, where he will be called up, as all the dead will be called who are unsaved, and he'll be judged for his sins, and he'll be thrown into the lake of fire. Judas Iscariot was not saved. He did not believe in Jesus Christ. But there was another thief in the scriptures that we examined. It was the thief at the cross. And in brief summary, we know his story was given best in the Gospel of Luke, although he was mentioned in all four Gospels. It says in Luke chapter 23, verse 39, "Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, 'If you are the Christ, save yourself and us.' But the other answering rebuked him, saying, 'Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong.' Then he said to Jesus, 'Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom.' And Jesus said to him, 'Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise.'" So we know the thief that died at the cross, the one that believed, for there was one that doesn't appear to have believed, but one for sure believed, we know where he is. Starting with that evening, he went to paradise with Jesus. Jesus was in the earth for 3 days. He would go and preach to the dead. And of course, on his way up, he would take everyone out of Abraham's bosom, which was the temporary resting place for the saved in Sheol. And nobody saved will go to Sheol anymore. They will be remitted upon death into the heavenly paradise, so far above the heavens where Christ is seated. And so we know that these two men, who are both thieves according to Scripture, or criminals according to Scripture, we know that one, it had been better if he'd not been born. That's Judas in Sheol. And we know the other is the thief. "Assuredly, I say to you, you will be with me in paradise." That's the thief at the cross with the Lord in heaven today. It is interesting when we bring these two men together and compare them to one another. The most interesting of comparisons begins to play out. And the point of this comparison, of bringing those two sermons to this point and this fork in the road, is that you each would examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith, to test yourselves if you're listening to this message today. What are you trusting in to save you from your sins? As you examine Judas's life and the life of this thief, you'll find what you should not trust in, and you'll find what you should trust in. The interesting thing is that both men in the Bible are attributed to being criminals in some way, shape, or form. Judas is called a thief. In John chapter 12, it says, "But because he was a thief and had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it." Scripture calls Judas a thief. Meanwhile, we call the thief at the cross a thief. But did you know that Scripture actually does worse than that? It calls him a robber. Mark calls that man at the cross a robber. Matthew calls him a robber twice. This is worse than just a thief. Robbery is point blank stealing. If you call the police and if you go home and you see your home has been robbed of everything that's there, you call the police and say, I've been robbed. They'll say, well, what did they look like? And they'll say, well, I don't know. They came and stole when I wasn't here. They say, well, then you weren't robbed. You were burglarized. You're the victim of a burglary. Robbery, you'll see your assailant, your attacker, whatever, to your face. Judas was more of a cloak and dagger thief. He had the money box and used to take what was put in it. But the man at the cross, whom we call a thief, was far worse. He was a robber, according to Mark. According to Matthew, he calls him a robber twice. And Luke, even worse, calls him a criminal twice. John simply calls the two nameless thieves the two others. One on one side and the other on the other. The first and the other. So as far as titles go, the thief at the cross had worse titles. And we haven't even leveraged Judas's titles, a follower of Christ, a disciple of Christ, not one of the 70 or 72 disciples. Judas was one of 12 disciples, a member of the inner circle of Christ, an apostle of Christ, and holding the money bag, the money manager for the Son of God. Also a thief, he had that title, according to John, but he had many good titles. The thief at the cross is in paradise with the Lord. And yet Judas is in Sheol, waiting for the great white throne that will send him to the lake of fire. Because titles don't save you. There will be lots of dukes and earls, even kings and queens in hell. And no one in heaven will be there because of their own title or position. For who had the titles and positions of Judas Iscariot? What are you trusting in to save you today? The thief at the cross had all these terrible titles, but he believed by faith and was saved. Judas was chosen by Jesus. Jesus answered in John chapter 6, verse 70, "Did I not choose you, the 12, and one of you is a devil?" He spoke of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for it was he who would betray him, being one of the 12. We tend to look at the negative side of that, but look at the resume side of that. He was one of 12 chosen by Jesus. He would have followed the Lord, studied with Jesus. He would have been mentored by Jesus. The thief on the cross, on the other hand, is never selected by Jesus in a narrative like Judas was selected. No chapter of the Bible ever shows Jesus making any kind of appointment with the thief on the cross by any way of physical arrangement or even a messenger arrangement. Judas, on the other hand, was chosen by Jesus in the narrative. The nameless thief just happened to be at the right place at the right time, is what it seems. He was never chosen in the narrative, never chosen through physical arrangement or official invitation. Jesus himself chose Judas. As far as the thief goes, all we can say, the Romans chose the thief for the death sentence. Jesus, in fact, chose Judas to serve as a disciple. The Romans chose the thief to serve the death sentence. As far as chosenness on earth goes, Judas was chosen for better reasons than the thief. Chosen to follow Jesus. Chosen to be a follower of Christ, a disciple, and an apostle. But he went to hell, to Sheol, and he'll go to the lake of fire. The thief, on the other hand, was simply chosen from the foundation of the world. Chosen through the foreknowledge of God, who knew the thief at the cross would believe. And of course, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of the truth. For you to be chosen, you have to choose Christ as your Lord and Savior today. And it's not enough. If you feel Jesus has chosen you in some way, shape, or form, you need to respond by faith to be saved. Jesus chose Judas. He's in torments today and will be forever. Not only was he chosen by Judas, he served just like the 12. Matthew 10, when he called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits. When he called his 12, he gave them power over unclean spirits. To cast them out, to heal all kinds of sickness, all kinds of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. They're all named, and Judas is named also, says, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, do not go into the way of the Gentiles. He told them, go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He said, as you go, preach the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. So Judas was not only chosen, but called to Jesus himself. Matthew 10, he had called his 12 disciples to him. He gave them power over unclean spirits. Judas was given power and authority by Jesus. Judas preached the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He preached the gospel. He healed the sick. He cleansed the lepers. He raised the dead. He cast out demons. He served the Lord. The thief did none of these things. He served himself through a life of robbery and crime. For the scripture calls him a robber twice, three times between the two gospels, and criminal twice. Judas served Jesus, the thief served himself, so much that even the pagan laws of Rome condemned him to crucifixion. You couldn't have a more stark contrast between these two men. Judas went to Sheol. The thief went to paradise. Judas, in his serving, would have spent time living with the Lord. The thief likely spent time living with thieves. Judas likely spent time living with the Lord. Judas spent a life. I can say that again. Judas spent time living in the Lord, 3 years serving the Lord. This thief simply served a life of crime enough to be condemned to death. Judas ate with the Lord, the thief on the cross, we're never told he did. Judas slept near the Lord, the thief on the cross, we're never told he did. Even though Jesus knew Judas would betray him, Judas was trusted with great responsibility. He had the money bag. He was the money manager for the Son of God and the other 11. The thief on the cross was never trusted with a money bag. If he was, whoever made that mistake would have deeply regretted it. He was a thief, and that's all we know. But he was saved by faith. Judas wasn't, despite all that he did. If you had tuned in previously, you would have remembered that Judas sat at the table of the Lord, breaking bread with the Lord, at the table of the Lord. He was there at the Last Supper. We discussed how the Gospel of Matthew puts Judas there at the Last Supper, dipping his hand in the dish with Jesus. And not just Matthew, but also Mark, and also Luke, and also John, all four Gospels, John 13, Luke 22, Mark 14, and Matthew 26, put Judas Iscariot at the table of the Lord, with the Lord, Jesus himself giving him the bread after dipping it in the dish. What about the thief at the cross? Nothing. Crickets concerning being at the table of the Lord. You could eat meals with Jesus for 3 years. It won't save you. Judas did. You could be at the Passover meal with Jesus. It won't save you. Judas did. He was there. You can be there. You can have Jesus himself hand you the bread. It won't save you. What about the thief? The thief at the cross. He wasn't there for any of these dinners. He wasn't there for any of these special occasions. At the cross, Jesus could not hand the thief a loaf of bread when they met. And even if Jesus would hand him bread, if Jesus had not been crucified, though he was, the thief, being crucified, could not reach out to take the bread. At the cross, Jesus wasn't handing out bread. He was there for his body to be broken, the heavenly bread that saves. At the cross, Jesus did not physically give bread, and at the cross, the thief could not physically take bread. But at the cross, the thief saw Jesus' body, which was broken for his sins. At the cross, the thief looked to Jesus, the bread of heaven, and believed and was saved. Judas ate the physical bread handed by Jesus himself and yet is forever condemned. The nameless thief never took the physical bread, but believed on Jesus, the body and bread, broken for his sins, and was saved. What's on your resume? Why do you attend the breaking of bread? Is it to be saved? Or is it because you're saved through the broken body of Jesus that we remember at the Lord's Supper? Judas was called by name by Jesus. Luke 22, verse 46 and 48, again, one of those dark moments for Judas, but we have to look at what could also be added to his resume in a positive light too. Jesus says concerning the judgment in Matthew 7, Jesus says many are going to show their resume on that day, is what Jesus teaches there. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not? Did we not? And they'll list their resume. Luke 22, Jesus said to them, why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. And while he was still speaking, behold, a multitude, and he who was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near to Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said to him, Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? This is remarkable. Out of Jesus' own mouth comes the name of Judas. In Matthew 7, Jesus says, those who try to list their resume on that day, Jesus will say to them, depart from me, I never knew you. You can almost see Judas there at the great white throne judgment saying, what do you mean you never knew me? You knew me for 3 years. The apostles knew me. You all called me by name. Jesus, in your Bible, Luke 22, verse 48, says, but Jesus said to him, Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? Judas, I am named in the Bible, Jesus. What do you mean you don't know me? Depart from me. And yet he will depart from Jesus into the lake of fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Because even though he was mentioned by name in the Bible, his name is not found written in the book of life because he never believed. The thief at the cross, on the other hand, by the providence of God, is mentioned in all four Gospels and yet remains nameless. Judas was not only known by name, but called by name by Jesus himself. Didn't save him. It won't save you. Even if your name were in the Bible, it would not save you today. Meanwhile, the thief on the cross remained nameless, but was saved. I believed he remained nameless because through his unnamed testimony, many others who are unnamed to us have come to name the name of Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. It is not our name that saves. It is the name of Jesus that saves, but only if you believe it and believe upon it. Peter preached to them in Acts 2, verse 21, and it shall come to pass that whomsoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. At the cross, the thief called on the name of the Lord and was saved by faith. He said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Even if your name were in the Bible, it wouldn't be enough to save you. The Lord Jesus called Judas friend. Matthew 26, verse 50, but Jesus said to him, friend, why have you come? Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him. Again, we look at the negative side, but look at the resume. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, called Judas friend. That means Judas was friends with Jesus. You might say at least for the 3 years, but it didn't save Judas from being condemned to hellfire. You realize Jesus never called the thief friend, but he said, you will be with me in paradise. you think you're friends with Jesus and it's going to save you, think again, it didn't save Judas. You must be more than friends with God. You must become a son or a daughter. A man once said, God has no grandchildren. You must be adopted into the family of the Heavenly Father, and that comes only by faith in the Son, the one thing Judas never did, believe. If you're born into a Christian family and you're hoping that'll save you, it won't. The scripture says Judas was called friend by Jesus, and that didn't save him. Does the scripture call you a friend? Judas was friends with Jesus for 3 years of wondrous ministry. The nameless thief wasn't friends with Jesus. In fact, the other gospels tell us that he hurled insults at Jesus during the few terrible, horrible hours he was crucified near the Lord. He started with insults. An enemy, not a friend, the thief was. But in one moment, the nameless thief believed on Jesus Christ as Lord, becoming not only a friend of God, but a child of God through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. When he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. That sealed the deal, that through his faith, the thief had become a child of God. Even though Judas had been called a friend, he would go to the lake of fire. Judas Iscariot kissed the Lord, and we already read that one. While Jesus was still speaking, Luke 22, behold, a multitude, and he who was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near to Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said to him, Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? How many of you have physically kissed the Lord Jesus? Judas did. It didn't save him. Imagine that at the top of your resume, my lips have kissed the Son of God. A preacher once said, Judas Iscariot kissed the door to heaven, turned around and went straight to hell. He turned his back on the door to salvation. It's not enough to kiss the door. You have to open the door of salvation and walk through it. Jesus said, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. It's not enough to approach the door of Jesus, to come to church, to even kiss Jesus, to raise your lips and kiss him in adoration and worship. It won't save you. It's not even true worship if you're not saved. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. Judas kissed Jesus Christ in the flesh, by the flesh, kissing the door to heaven. But Romans says that by the flesh, no man is justified. We must be justified by faith. At the cross, the nameless thief could not reach the Son of God with his lips to kiss him. But his whole body was saved through faith, entering through the door of Jesus Christ, who said, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. I believe it's in the Old Testament. It says, look to me to be saved. Look to me. The thief at the cross was able to look to Jesus, perhaps. We're not told that in the narrative, but it was a looking to God by faith when he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. The problem with Judas Iscariot is that he kissed Jesus, but he never looked to Jesus by faith. He kissed the door to heaven, but he never opened the door and walked through it. He turned around and went straight to hell. The thief, his lips never touched Jesus, but his whole body is in paradise today by faith. Judas has this on his resume. He was liked by the religious people of his day. The Pharisees were mad with Jesus and the 12. It says when Judas, in Mark 14, verse 10, one of the 12, went to the chief priest to betray him to them, when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. So he sought how he might conveniently betray him. We see through that passage, Judas was the only member of the 12 who was preferred by the chief priests, who were appointed by God to priestly duty. Yeah, sure, Judas betrayed Jesus, but for the reason of his betrayal, he was at least preferred by priests and elders who hated Jesus, who had been appointed by God to the ministry that they had, Their ministry was not to hate Jesus. The point I'm making is at the judgment, Judas Iscariot can say, Jesus, you never made the chief priests glad. You appointed them, you never made them glad. The religious leadership of the day was happy with me. Your own Bible says when they heard my words, they were glad, Jesus. They were unhappy with you. They were happy with me. Your priests, will you not let me into the heavens? Your heaven. You know, the thief at the cross, we're not told he made anybody glad. In fact, they had a chance to ask for someone to be released. They asked for Barabbas. No mention of this thief getting released. Nobody even made a case for his release. They asked for Barabbas, another criminal. This thief was pretty down, far down on the totem pole. He was pretty hated, you might say. The Romans had condemned him to death, and it doesn't tell us he made anybody glad. But he got saved. He got saved. He made God glad when he accepted the gift of the Son of God dying on the cross for his sins. It's the only way to please God. And just like Judas, you may have pleased church leaders, elders, deacons, other workers, missionaries. They gave Judas money. They were so happy with him. You can make all the world religious leaders glad. It won't save you. It didn't save Judas Iscariot. Judas Iscariot, during his final moments, had perhaps the most admirable of actions. After his betrayal of Jesus, when morning came, Matthew tells us in Matthew 27, all the chief priests and elders of the people plotted against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound Jesus, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. And Judas's betrayer, seeing that he had been condemned, was remorseful and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? You see to it. And he threw down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. And the chief priest took the silver and said, it is not lawful to put them into the treasury because they are the price of blood. And they consulted together and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. The old King James says Judas in verse 3 of Matthew 27, then Judas, which had betrayed him when he saw that he was condemned, repented of himself. Uses an excellent word that is often linked to salvation for good reason. Said Judas repented of himself. So why was Judas not saved? Judas repented of himself. He didn't repent of who Jesus was to him. You must have a change of mind about who Jesus is and what he did to save you in order to be saved. You must repent of that specifically. Judas repented of what he did. He didn't repent of what Jesus was going to do to save him. He didn't repent of not believing of what Jesus was about to do. He didn't repent of that. He didn't repent of who Jesus was, the Lord, the Son of God. He repented of himself. He was remorseful. He voluntarily went there and gave the money back. He returned the money that he had stolen. He went before the chief priests and elders, we covered this before, and he confessed his sins to them at the temple. It would be like you going to a workers and elders conference or a gathering of church leaders and confessing your sins publicly before all of them and returning the money you stolen from something or some evil thing you did in front of everyone publicly. Judas did all these things which are very commendable, which some Christians don't do today who are true believers. He did all that. The thief at the cross, it doesn't tell us he was remorseful about anything concerning what he did. In fact, logic would lead us to believe he was not remorseful concerning the things he had done, at least not until he had the death sentence. We're not told he returned money. We're not told he went and confessed his sins. Judas did all these things. He did all these things. Judas gave money back, and when they refused it, Judas threw the pieces of silver in the temple and departed. he threw down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. When they refused the money, Judas gave the money to God. He threw it down on the temple floor, giving it to God himself. Are you giving money to God in hopes that that will save you? We're not told the thief ever gave money to God. In fact, he was a robber. He was stealing money from men. David, who had sinned against a man named Uriah, had him murdered to steal his wife. David later confessed his sins, that he had sinned against God. "Against you and you only have I sinned," David said. So when the thief was robbing men at point-blank range, he was sinning against God, robbing God, sinning against God. And Malachi, concerning tithes and offerings, says, "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me." And the scripture calls him a robber. This man had robbed God. Not only in tithes and offerings, he'd done far worse. He had done sins of omission in tithes and offerings, likely, and sins of commission, we know for sure. This one we know for sure. He was condemned to death. There's no reason for us to believe this man did anything but rob, and yet saved by grace through Jesus Christ. Judas's money was rejected there. They said it is not lawful to put them into the treasury because they are the price of blood. So they took that money. They consulted together. They bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Ministering to strangers was a godly command from the Old Testament, foreigners and strangers, and it remains a command in the New Testament. Hebrews 13, "Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some have unwittingly entertained angels." Matthew 25, Jesus himself says, "I was a stranger and you took me in." Judas ministered to strangers when they took his money and bought the potter's field to bury strangers in. It was posthumously. He had already hanged himself, but nonetheless, his money went to a very worthy cause. Your money can go to very worthy causes. It will not save you. The thief at the cross, we're never told he did any of these things. We're told he was a criminal and a robber. But he got saved. One of the most incredible things about Judas Iscariot's final moments was that he went to what you might call the church of the day, though it wasn't a church. The church was not yet until the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was given. You might call that the birthday of the church. In the Gospels, the word church is only used twice, but they had another building. It was the temple. It was a building far more exclusive than the church. And Judas went to temple. Matthew 27, verse 3, seeing Jesus had been condemned, Judas was remorseful and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders. It says later there, he threw down the pieces of silver in the temple. This was Good Friday, the very first ever. Judas Iscariot went to a building far more exclusive than any church building on a day far more exclusive than any Good Friday. He went to the temple. There was only one on earth, and he went on the first Good Friday ever. Talk about good works. And he confessed his sins, and he returned the money, and when they didn't take it, he gave it to God, throwing it down on the temple floor. But he went straight to Sheol in torments forever. The thief at the cross, we're never told he returned the money, and he couldn't be there at the temple on the first Good Friday. And it was for a shameful reason. He was detained to be crucified and then nailed to the cross for his sins. Imagine someone saying to you, "Where were you at the Lord's Supper?" "Oh, I was at the police station," where they quickly commuted my death sentence and killed me. "That's why I couldn't be to church today. I was being killed for my sins." That was the story of the thief on the cross. He couldn't be at temple that day, the first Good Friday ever. In fact, none of the 12 were, that we know of. It seems from the narrative of the scriptures, they were running for their lives.
But Judas presented himself at the temple on that day and was remorseful and gave the money back and confessed his sins and gave the money to God. The thief at the cross, none of these. But he has this on his resume, Lord. He said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. The final thing that Judas Iscariot did was he hung himself. This is taught in many religious circles today. Often they'll call it a penance. Merriam-Webster defines penance as an act of self-abasement or mortification, a devotion performed to show sorrow or repentance for sin. Quote, he or she did charitable work as a penance. Another definition from that same Merriam-Webster is something such as a hardship or a penalty resembling an act of penance, as in compensating for an offense. Judas Iscariot had visited a terrible offense. He had turned in the Son of God. Jesus had said to Pilate, he who has turned me in has the greater sin. And yet Judas exercised a great self-abasement, a great penance, you might say, a great act of mortification. It says he threw down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. The thief on the cross, it doesn't appear he ever exercised any penance or self-mortification. It would stand to reason that he was so involved in doing whatever he wanted that the Romans had to put him to death and mortify his flesh. But he got saved before his final moments. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Judas Iscariot had this incredible penance, the thief on the cross, the death penalty, for he was not repentant of his sins. But he repented of his unbelief and was saved. And it made all the difference. Sometimes we hear it said, in order to be saved, you must cease to sin. A few people would say that today. I don't think anyone here would say that. But oftentimes, I've heard it in false teachings, usually on YouTube. You must cease to sin. Cease to sin. It's more perfect to say, you must cease of your sin of disbelief in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's the way to be saved. But consider the case of Judas Iscariot. He did cease to sin. He was so remorseful and so sick with himself that when all else failed, he went and hanged himself and never sinned again. His final act was an act of self-murder, but one that brought about a future of never sinning again. And yet he was unsaved. He never got saved. He ceased to sin and went to Sheol instead of heaven. The thief at the cross didn't cease to sin. Even when he was nailed to the cross, he railed at the Son of God with his mouth. The other Gospels tell us so. But he did cease his unbelief in his final moments. Instead of reviling, it tells us in Luke, one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him. That was the other guy who was still blaspheming, saying, if you are the Christ, save yourself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our sins, of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. As we covered with the message of the thief, his words were walking hand in hand with John 16's teaching of the conviction of sin, righteousness, and judgment. He sees Jesus has done nothing wrong. There's the conviction of righteousness, Jesus Christ. The conviction of sin is there. We receive, we indeed justly, he says, we're sinners. And the conviction of judgment, we receive the due reward of our deeds. That verse 41 has the entire conviction of the Holy Spirit for the world. And Romans 10, profess with your mouth Christ is Lord, believe in your heart God has raised him from the dead. He said to Jesus, Lord, remember me. He said, Lord, and he said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He believed this Jesus would be raised from the dead and inherit a kingdom. He fulfilled John 16 and Romans 10. Well, John 16, God fulfilled, convicting him. He fulfilled Romans 10, professing with his mouth Christ is Lord, believing in his heart God has raised him from the dead, and he was saved. But Judas ceased sinning when he killed himself, and he wasn't saved. You know, when Judas went and hanged himself, it was very sad if you think about it. If he would have just stuck around, he would have got to see what Jesus was going to do to save him and all who would believe. But he went and hanged himself. He didn't wait. The thief on the cross wasn't waiting for the cross and for an appointment for Jesus. He was just waiting with the death sentence. And that day, he got to see this Jesus. He got to rail with his own mouth at Jesus. He hadn't ceased to sin. But he got to see this Jesus at the cross. His response to the crowd railing at him, and how this Jesus responded in a way that no other man would. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. This thief got to see the gentleness of the Messiah on the cross, who when reviled, did not revile in return. And he began to realize, this man has done nothing wrong. Judas had already gone and hanged himself. What I'm preaching to you, if you're listening, is to not put up for yourself a resume and to put your trust and hope in that, for you will not even come close to the resume of Judas Iscariot, but to look to the cross of Christ. Look to the man who was blameless, perfect, sinless. Even when they reviled him, he would not revile in return. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they know what they do. And follow in the footsteps of this thief, who trusted not in his works, for his works were wickedness. His hands nailed to the cross, he could do no good thing. But he believed and was saved by the blood of Jesus that he saw at the cross. Profess with your mouth Christ is Lord. Believe in your heart God has raised him from the dead. And then you will be saved just like this thief. And then you can say, just like this thief would say, could say in this final moments, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ that liveth in me. And in his final moments, that thief gave glory to God with the words he spoke, and God has recorded it in Scripture. The good news is you have the entire rest of your life to bring glory to God in Jesus Christ who saved you. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. Lord, there is not a soul in Sheol that has a resume like Judas Iscariot. And you permitted us to have these scriptures that we could part together his resume. And you permitted us to have just enough from the thief at the cross that we could put together a resume so lacking and yet enough to save, because it has on it the blood of Jesus. And Father, we just thank you for the simplicity of these things, that you do not require us to do anything to be saved, but to believe and be saved by faith alone in Christ alone. And from then on, we can walk with your Son, and he continues to work in us to will and to do for his good pleasure. And even at the moment of that thief's death, did you work in him to will and to do for your good pleasure? As he said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Father, we just thank you. And if anyone is wondering today, what must they do to be saved? The message is simple. The apostles said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. We give you thanks, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen.